Good evening, everyone. I declare this Special General Council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everyone know that this General Council meeting will be recorded and the audio will be available on the City of Marion website. I ask if any elected members wish to foreshadow a potential conflict of interest. Councillor Westwood.
Yes, when it comes to fund my neighbourhood, I'm actually involved with a group, Trott Park Community Garden, and I'll be withdrawing from that, especially during a vote. Thanks.
Well, the withdrawal or otherwise is up to you. I'm not sure that it's warranted. I'll just ask some advice from our acting governance manager, Ms. Thwaites.
That is up to you, but as we're not actually awarding any funds today, it is more just making a recommendation forward. You potentially would be okay. There's no conflict of interest there.
Well, I'm happy to stay. That's fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. For those in the gallery, a special welcome to you. You're probably here for the more controversial motion of the evening, and we have a couple of deputations for people to address the Council. We'll come to that later. But first we have the relatively routine business of the Council. So we'll get to that matter when we can. You're very welcome. Now, I come to the Fund My Neighbourhood proposals. In terms of dealing with this long list, I can say that I don't propose to deal with these item by item unless you wish to. What I was going to suggest is considering them in three blocks, the ones which are recommended as suitable by staff, those to which staff have said maybe, and those to which staff have suggested no. I'll just open by saying my view of this, since we are not the decision makers, is to let as much flow through to the state government and thence to the community voting as possible. And unless there's a reason, such as impracticality or duplication, then I think it would be prudent and wise for us to let things go. Now, that may be a different assessment to what staff came up with, because they may well have applied their sense of reason and priority to projects in a way that we don't have to do as political decision makers. I don't mean that means we're going to make a stupid decision, but it just means that we can allow others to make the final decision. And after all, if it's a democratic process and the community gets to vote on the end result, who are we to censor projects which are going to be voted on by the community? However, there are some good reasons, and what I'm suggesting, and I'll be interested to hear the debate, is that all of the green light proposals recommended by staff as suitable could go in. I think maybe we have three separate votes. That might be the most convenient way to, through three separate resolutions might be the most convenient way to dispatch this. And then with the no's, I would be inviting us all to look carefully at those no's to see if any should be reversed. In other words, should be included as a yes instead of a no. And then with the maybes, I would also be suggesting we can deal with that as a separate resolution as well, but they should all go forward unless there is an argument for one or two of them in relation to impracticality or timing or duplication. And we might seek staff advice about that. But that's how I propose to break it up. If I just get the recommended motions in front of me. You have a question before we go ahead, Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I was just wondering if at your behest the management might be able to give us a few paragraphs verbally on their basic thinking in putting these green yellows or green ambers and reds together. For example, fairness and equity been brought into account as to wards, just for example? I'm not suggesting it should be, although it probably should be.
All right.
But just by way of...
That sounds like a general question and a specific question. Who would like to handle that? Our staff are coming forward. Ms. Lidicote. Thank you.
Thank you. Through the Mayor, excuse me, we just assessed each project individually, so we haven't taken into account number of wards included per project.
Other questions? Councillor Blescu?
Which ones of these can we deliver on time without impacting on our other works? And which ones can't we deliver on time without impacting on our works? Because we do have a 12-month time frame, I believe, from the voting period.
Yes, that's right. Through the Mayor, so the items in green, they're the projects that wouldn't require additional or much additional resource. They could be undertaken within our current works program or aligned to projects we're currently doing at the moment. The ones in amber, well, they can also be achieved, but they would require additional resources, which we were aiming to come back to Council with a report in November as to how we manage those resources required. And the items in red, they either didn't align strategically or couldn't be achieved within 12 months. So a number of the traffic items that have come up, some of these projects might be great projects, and there would be some that we could further work with these community members. So we're not saying they're not good ideas, but trying to achieve them in 12 months would be really difficult because of the other studies and engagement processes and costings and scopings required. So that's why we've put that as a red, but certainly able to still progress with community some of these ideas, I suppose.
I think what we'll do is actually suspend standing orders, but let's have a round of questions before we do that. Councillor Westwood.
In some other reading I was doing on this, in actual fact, when I was involved in putting in the actual application for the community garden, I thought I understood the spirit of it was that if funds have been committed already or if it's running costs and that kind of thing, the project wouldn't be considered. And I thought that, my way of thinking is that if we've already committed ourselves as a council to develop a certain area or park or whatever the facility is that's mentioned in some of these projects, is the government about to give us money to replace the money that we were about to spend on that project? Thank you.
Through the Mayor, we did confirm this with the DPC. So the items that are in green, they are projects that are within our works program as far as potentially design. We are not eligible for projects where we have a budget for that. So an example of that one was the Morfordville Park Cricket Club, where that came to council, I believe, in the last couple of weeks for funding. So that's no longer eligible. Some of these projects in green, their additional scope to those projects is acceptable, so long as we didn't have the funding for that particular item. So we've checked all of these and they just align to current works, or where we're already doing a project, we're able to suggest an alternate. So we've internally considered whether that still fits within, for example, that reserve classification, that we're not overdoing our assets, and that it does align strategically. So they're all... just further on that. projects where we have committed to design but to build, and we have funding highlighted in the 18-19 budget. They're also eligible because we haven't yet formally confirmed that budget through council.
Councillor Hull.
I'd like to ask a couple of questions about perspective, what we're really dealing with here. The total funds available to the three councils, Mitcham, Marion and Onkapringa, is what, $3.5 million?
I think it was $3.8 million, so I'll just get Craig to confirm.
Mr. Clark's advising $3.8
million. 3.8.
Is that so for the three councils? Yes.
So in any likelihood, we'd probably be lucky to get $1 million. And that really should be a measure of our thought about this. Clearly, that sort of money is not going to impose any big impact on our long-term financial plan in terms of maintenance. It's not a big spend. And for that reason, there's not a whole lot of money involved, and therefore it actually really means that we should not get caught up on the detail, and I agree with the Mayor. The other thing I'd like to ask is that if we actually say no to any of these without any good reason, and there is some good reasons pointing out about scheduling, then the government could easily say, well, your council didn't support it. So I'm a bit reluctant, Mr. Mayor, to be caught up in this.
We're not here for debate at the moment, Councillor Hull.
So I'm just asking the question, is that a likely...
Well, you weren't just asking the question, but what was your question?
Well, is that a likelihood? I was just about to finish my question. Is that, in your opinion, being the most politically savvy person in the room, is that a likelihood?
That's certainly a possibility. I mean, the whole thing, as you are alluding to, is taking place in the lead-up to the state election in March, so there is a political context to all this.
And the follow-up to the question is that will there be wriggle room later on to actually go back for consultation, readjust and re-evaluate and reposition these projects with the government? Obviously, that period is finite, Mr. Mayor, and correct me if I'm wrong, once caretaker period comes in, what, February, then we won't have much of an opportunity to do much adjustment at all. Would that be the case?
Once projects are funded... generally speaking, bureaucrats will have the opportunity to round off the edges, negotiate sensible outcomes if the principle has already been approved, and I expect that before caretaker period applies to the state government, all of these projects will be well and truly chosen and announced.
Thanks very much.
Councillor Telfer.
My concern is about the annual operating and maintenance estimates. Is council, or can we have advice from staff about the impact of those annual operating and maintenance estimates, and whether there's a likelihood that we can take them on board? Quite a lot of them are over per project, $10,000 a year, forever. What's the implications?
So, Councillor Telfer, are you sort of assuming that all of the yeses and maybes are approved, for example, or what?
If at least all the yeses and some of half of the maybes maybe are approved, up to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
What is the implication on our annual operating and maintenance budgets?
Mr. Mixford.
Thank you. Through the Chair, just as a rough calculation, Councillor, if Council was successful in getting in the order of $1 million of projects supported through the government, it would be approximately $50,000 a year in operating and maintenance costs. So, as Councillor Hull has already touched on, it is quite relatively minor and be adequately covered within Council's budgets as you approve them each year.
Any other questions? Well, sorry, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just another quick question for staff. What, bearing in mind that I can see that the yes ones have been chosen because they meet our work plan and basic strategy in the city, but if we were to say all the orange ones, yes as well, so the public gets to decide on those, what other disadvantages would there be if all those maybes were yeses?
Through the Mayor, I guess in that case, what we'd be looking at is, our feeling is probably that it would be worthwhile putting them all forward. The risk in doing that is that once the voting's happened, the public vote for all of the yellow ones, and that means every project requires additional resources. So it's essentially letting the community make that decision. But I guess, as we've said before, worst case scenario that we would estimate is that we could be up for about 10 projects at a cost of $1 million and looking to resource those. And so that's a question of whether, when we come back to you in November, you would feel you want to make a decision to reprioritise other projects that are in our Forward Works program, or whether you would want to take these on as completely new additional projects to our existing works program. So that's probably the greatest risk in putting them out.
Thank you.
Right, well, I'd suggest maybe rather than three separate resolutions, it might be easier to for someone to move to suspend standing orders. Moved Councillor Blescu, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? It's carried. All those against, sorry? Yes, or carried by a majority. So what I propose to do is just concentrate on those three areas. Probably the easiest one first, all of those that are recommended as suitable by staff, the green light ones. Does anyone want to pull out anything from that list? Or should we assume they're all in? Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just one brief one, number six on the list, which is Hendry Street Reserve. Now, noting that there's the contributions from the existing funding partners, including City of Marion, touched by Olivia, and I think Dipti. We've also had a new funding partner to the tune of about $10,000, I think, from Edwardstown Rotary Club. Now, this, so the extra 150 we're estimating, that won't actually fully deliver Stage 2, will it?
Through the Mayor, no, that wouldn't fully deliver Stage 2, but it will just contribute to, so we may be able to portion another aspect of that to add to a stage.
Sure, because there was a couple of hundred thousand extra on top of that, wasn't it, to fully complete?
Sorry, I need to check that with Alicia.
Let's assume it's something like that, Councillor, but, I mean, that Stage 2 isn't as if it's 100% or nothing. It's a series of measures, so if you had 80% of it, you could probably build an extra 80%. All right, well, those can pretty well be locked into the motion we're going to formulate. Now, perhaps I'd ask you to turn to the ones that are marked red, those that are not recommended by staff, to see if anybody wants to pull one of those, one or more of those out as possible yeses. I do note there are a number of worthy projects suggested by the Cove Sports and Community Club, but as I've been advised by staff that it was pointed out to them that if you have 20 projects, for example, and it's a community vote, then you're doing yourself a disservice because you're probably not going to get 20 up. People would be voting against themselves within that very same community. So as I understand it, Cove themselves have indicated a priority to those Cove Sports items which have been put into the maybe category, so that in a sense they've done that job for us, so I have been advised. Councillor Holt.
A question, Mr. Mayor, that
yep.
Given that we're one of three councils, in terms of this bidding situation, are we actually competing with projects in those other councils as well? Because you know, if that's the case, we really should go for it. We should really put it out there and allow all those maybes to go through and let the process go through with the competition while the voting. It's a bit like, Australian Idol, if you like, you know, and there's some deficits in the process as well, Mr. Mayor. Say Warrapringa. I'll pick that example. Warrapringa doesn't have a population living very close, you know, if there's a perimeter around it that they're actually allowing the votes to come in from. They would be at a disadvantage, if you're taking the point.
Yes, I take your debating point. We're just dealing with the red marked ones at the moment. I highlighted the Cove ones particularly because members might look at them and think, well, individually, it's quite a good project. But I'm advised that the club itself has accepted the tactical advice of prioritising some of their many suggestions. So the question remains, out of the red list, are there any that should be elevated? Councillor Crossland. Didn't quite catch that. Come back to you, Councillor Gard.
One in particular that caught my eye was 61, Your Worship, Hallett Cove Beach, two disability access mats. In the knowledge of how popular the move was at Secret Beach, I would have thought that that's one that would not be too hard on anybody's hip pocket, but would certainly go a long way.
Well, Councillor Gard, that raises a good question for staff. In the proposal that was put forward, was it suggested who might be responsible for the laying out and the taking up of mats? Ms. Lidicote?
Through the Mayor, we don't have further information. We didn't go back to each of the applicants to clarify details. In some cases we did, but not all. In this case, I'm aware that the Seacliff disability mats do require daily taking out and bringing in. They're quite heavy. It's quite difficult for even the surf club members to do that. So it would require, I spoke to a couple of members of the surf club about that. It would require some pretty fit people, as the patrol officers I know struggle a little bit. And also the other issue with it, even at Seacliff, when there's a few rocks around, it makes it really difficult, and it's not a flat surface, and there are some issues with getting the wheelchairs across. So in the case of Hallett Cove Beach, it would be really unsuitable. So whilst it's a great idea and it's certainly worked well and been supported at Seacliff, it just doesn't have enough at this stage. Again, there is a possibility here, and with all of these projects, that the government will also be doing a second round. So through that process, and I think it probably answers one of Councillor Hull's questions about would there be any backlash around projects we haven't supported? Well, we certainly would be willing to talk further with these applicants and provide that feedback, enabling them to come forward again and put in another application the next round.
And I wouldn't be critical of staff for not having gone through that conversation with each of the applicants because of the extremely rushed timeframe imposed by the state government. All right. Anything else on the red ones, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I'm interested in item 71, which is the BMX track, or the makeshift BMX track upgrade, if you call it that. There's a number of reasons that that's not a bad idea. The ones that I can think of off the top of my head is it's adjacent to our cycling and walking track, so access is adjacent to the Oakland station, which is again access. There's already a bike, somewhat of a bike track there. I did ask what it would take for us to dump a couple of trailloads of dirt there and move them around with the Bobcat a couple of years ago. So I'm keen on that one, or to know more about it anyway.
Yeah, Councillor, from the... I'll ask, indeed, the question is for staff, but from a staff comment, it looks like that it's actually in an area going to be built over from that comment. But perhaps Ms. Lidicote can enlighten us.
Through the Mayor, yes, that one, the renewal SA planning precinct, I'm aware from conversations with other staff that it's something that couldn't go ahead at this time in that location, but I'm not across that development. I guess with this particular application, and with all of them, there is an opportunity to go back to the applicant and suggest a change in scope. So for a couple of these items that are listed in red, you could go back to the applicant and suggest another location for a pump track. There's just some further difficulty with that type of thing. I mean, I would personally love to see one near that development as well, and think it would be great. But trying to find a suitable location and plan if we could have an alternative may be difficult. But it's possible that if you wanted us to investigate that, that we could bring... If there's a change in scope that you could think of that could be more suitable, then...
Well, just a question. I mean, there is open space there opposite the current housing in the direction of the creek. So I do not understand at the moment what the impediment is.
Territories, Mr. Mayor. We don't really know who owns it, even though we've asked for the last couple of years.
I think it's in our care and maintenance was the last advice we were given.
Ms. Clutterham can help. Thank you.
Through the Mayor, Bombay Reserve is the area being referred to. It's Crown land, currently under care of council and control management. The area further to the west and including Bombay Reserve, that Oaklands area, is subject to further planning with Renewal SA at the moment. They have indicated the potential for looking at the including Bombay Reserve as part of that development into the future. So potentially supporting, that was part of the briefing that they gave to members a couple of weeks ago. And so it may be premature at this point to support this particular recreational feature at that site without further planning.
So it's what I first thought, that apparently there are potential plans for Renewal SA to build all over the reserve. I guess that scotches that one.
Does it really destroy that one, or can we put it up anyway? Because it's just dirt. A bulldozer will fix it straight away.
Look, there's plenty of dump rubbish on the footpaths around there. There's a mattress on Bombay Street at the moment covering the pavement, so I'm sure people can access, you know, can use that for jumps and tricks.
Okay, remember, we've got standing order suspended, so can I just have, based on the discussion, the information from staff and Councillor Pryor's point of view, can we just have a quick show of hands? Who thinks it should be elevated and put forward? Hands up. Who doesn't agree? That's the majority. So I think we'll keep that in the red zone for the moment. Okay. Any others? I suppose just from my point of view... Oh, sorry, wasn't sure what you were doing. Just a sec, Councillor. With number 72, the Parkholme Community Hall, if that's come from the committee... and they're suggesting a pergola at the back, even if it... I mean, they would be aware that a pergola is going to impede parking. If that's what they think should happen, should it go up anyway? Any more staff advice on that?
Sorry, I don't have a lot more information on this particular project, but would probably suggest if the feeling is towards supporting it, that it's one that could change, there's an opportunity there to... look at the scope, and if it still wasn't possible, we could certainly, I guess, not enter into agreement on that one.
Any councillors interested in supporting that one? Councillor Bilescu?
Your Worship, I think that some of these other ones, it's almost, with the red ones, it's almost something that we need to consider for later on. I don't know how much the upgrade for Parkholme Community Hall would cost, but I don't think it'd be too much. But yeah, we need more information. I believe there were some issues with potential parking in that area and vehicle access, if I remember.
Oh, there's no doubt that there's not a lot of parking around that hall, and there would be a handful of car parks out the back of the hall. Yeah. So, you know, maybe...
I just think with all of these, if they've come from the community, they're things for us to consider, whether it's something that we... put in later on in the budgets, or whether something we look into and realise it's not feasible at all. So I don't think any of this should be written off at this point, but there were some questions in regards to the Parkholme Community Hall, whether it's something we could do. I think it was to do with the traffic or the cars. I'm not sure if anyone can add to that.
Well, look, fair point. The fact is, whatever we put up, I guess there are three categories. There are those that are accepted. There are those we put up which aren't accepted, which probably we should have another look at to see if they fit our priorities and resources. And there are those that we're leaving in the red zone. But even some of them, if councillors want to take further, can be explored and costed and etc. So nothing is, you know, being permanently ruled out by us not putting things up. So anything more on the red ones? It doesn't sound like there's too much interest in escalating any, but Councillor Gard?
Just for the record, under 66, unless the upgrades for a brand new and very high clock tower, we should record that as the community hall, not the town hall.
I imagine there would be quite a few locals who would appreciate a clock tower, as long as it doesn't block anyone's view. But yes, that would be the more correct description. But you see, there's another one. Why would that not be going up for a vote? I'll just put that to staff. I mean, so it's not in our strategy, but that's the whole point with all of these things. It's like a Christmas present. It's a bonus. If somebody's paying for it, why not put it up for consideration at least? Ms. Lydica?
Yeah, again, I'll try and answer this one as best I can. I don't have a lot of detail consulting with the land and property team on this one. The feeling was that they would rather see the development of this site or potentially funds go into a new facility, I think, based on the condition of the existing facility. I'm not familiar with it myself.
Well, Ms. Lydica, but I just see a logical flaw in that, because it's not $149,000 into this facility or another, it's this or nothing in terms of a gift from the state government. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I would suggest escalating it forward then, if that's how you feel. But I think there are a couple of projects here in the red that we've gone through the process. We've done an initial assessment with the information that we've had available. All of these projects have gone through to the relevant SLT managers to review and provide final comments, which are the comments that are in here. But certainly we've also, I've had that discussion with them that we could potentially, I guess, bring some forward. So these comments are in line with what their feelings were at the time, but certainly if you felt we should bring it forward and make those amendments, even if there is to be a development down the track in line with community facilities review, then that would just need to be taken into account, and maybe the time frame for upgrading that facility later on would provide that opportunity. Or alternatively, for these items, we could perhaps suggest that the land and property team work with these groups to understand their requirements and submit something back to the round two stage.
So do we have anyone speaking up for the Merino Hall upgrade to be elevated? Councillor Crossland.
Just a question. The only thing that concerned me on that one was the building of a cafe in there. If there's potential to liaise with the people putting this forward to remove that item, all the other items are, I know the audio system and IT are desperately needed. What they're using now is not fit for purpose. Is that a possibility? I'd like to put forward that one, but definitely without the cafe, if that could be noted.
Yes, we do. If there's minor changes in scope, then the DPC will put that through to a voting. If there's a major change, they'll go back to the applicant to ask the applicant if they are happy to still have that project submitted. And if they are, then that project will go up to voting with our change of scope. So we're going to clearly identify where we've said that we would support based on a change in scope. Yeah, it is difficult with a lot of the applications, and that's what has been quite complicated for us to make some of these assessments because a lot of them don't have the scope that we need to, I guess, fully assess it. We've just tried to make a call on each project, and because that one had recently been upgraded and is at a local level, we haven't suggested additional works happen at that reserve, but there are other reserves where we could potentially work on a change in scope to make some improvements, but in this case we felt it was going a bit above the service level that we've already established there.
Okay, going above the service level, because it's sort of bonus money, I would have thought shouldn't be a reason for knocking it back. But on the other hand, we're sitting here as a council deciding, we don't really know what the person's asked for. That's the difficulty. Councillor Valescu, did you have another point you were going to raise, or in terms of any of the red ones? Or
no, Your Worship.
Okay.
I'm quite happy to leave them as they are, apart from Marina.
Okay, I think that's about it then. Councillor Pryor?
Question. Do you know the sum total of the value of the green ones and the orange ones and the red ones?
Sorry, no, not at this stage.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Pryor, could you help us out? I would like to know how important that question is. What's your reasoning?
Just my reasoning is I wonder, yeah, I mean, if there's $3.8 million on offer and we've got $27 million worth of projects on our list, then perhaps it's easier to cull the bottom.
Well, there's another bit of the jigsaw that we don't have. We don't know how much Mitcham and these other councils are putting forward. If they're only putting up $500,000 worth, we might be doing very well. If they're putting up $10 million worth, we might only get a small fraction of what we ask for.
That's true.
Councillor Valescu?
Thought on these. I'm just wondering whether if we submit the green ones and the maybes with the proviso that we're not sure of the further resource implications, because if we get a swath of these funded, but there's also potential for other money to be around the place before the election, you might find that, you know, the parties might have extra funds, community initiatives that they'd like to, you know, sponsor. So it doesn't really hurt having the maybes put out there, but obviously let them know that there are, we're not sure whether we could deliver within the required time frame. There might be some other implications. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, I think we'll probably... Let's leave the red ones, apart from elevating the merino one. Looking at the maybes, look, I've got probably two queries, so I'll kick off and then invite others to do so. When I look at Cadell Street Reserve, we are in the middle of a process of selecting the optimum site for a small dog park, and therefore to have our hand forced in a sense through this process. I can understand why that might be problematic, unless councillors are willing to throw in a Cadell Street dog park as well as whatever comes out of our selection process. Is there any comments on that one specifically? Yes, Councillor Crossan?
Yeah, just note, if you know, we've had the same thing for number three, which is in the yes for a reserve upgrade and a dog park in Hallett Cove. But there is a scope change comment on that, which I think is the dog park wouldn't be supported. Number three.
Right, yes, number three. So could staff advise, how did that one get into the yes?
Sorry, were you referring to why we've supported Cadell essentially as a maybe, but
number three is a yes.
Oh, sorry, that's because we I'll just check the notes on that one, but we have not supported the dog park in that location. We've supported the playground upgrade only.
Right.
So we've asked for a scope change there.
So that's a yes going forward on that basis?
Yes.
Right. Councillor Hull, on Cadell Reserve?
Well, it is. Look, I think this is just part of the log of claims that we're putting in, and if this is one of them, so be it. But reality is that the only designated dog park in the city of Marion is actually in the south. We don't have any designated dog parks in the north of the city at all. So if these were achieved, it would actually free up our thinking to actually, and money, to actually do the right thing in the north with dog parks. So that's the only point I'd like to make, Mr. Mayor. Just in a general sense, Mr. Mayor, I just see this as a great opportunity for the city of Marion, notwithstanding any of these getting up at all. It's really a free survey of our city to indicate to us what the people want in terms of upgrades. We can pick this up.
Ms. Lidicote, just a question about number 38, the idea of community group backyards. I don't fully understand it, but is that costing from staff or from the applicant? And they're talking about 49,000 or 60,000 or whatever. And what's that money for? Is it for having backyard barbies or what?
Excuse me, I just need to go through to find that application. And that probably is a good one to have a further discussion on, because it was a little bit vague, I guess, in terms of what it was providing. So, again, this is a project that, whether it's better to delay this one until a round two and have some further consultation with the individual who put this forward. I believe they put forward that costing based around an actual staff coordinator facilitator working with community groups. So it does have a bit of concern around delivery of that project with a bit of an unknown as to what will be achieved.
All right, quick vote on that one. Put your hand up if you want to keep it in. Put your hand up if you want to keep it out. 38. I'll take that vote again. If you would like it put forward, then put your hand up. If you would like it not to be put forward, put your hand up. All right, we'll leave that one out. You know, for what it's worth, I'm happy giving all of the rest the benefit of the doubt. But I'm interested, if we take as a starting point of putting in all the maybes, I'd like to hear from councillors who would like to drop any, like 38's out. But does anyone want to put anything else forward as an exclusion? Councillor Vlesk?
Dilute the vote by putting in that many. So, especially if we're competing with other councils. So, if there are some key projects, they'll get voted in by the community. But if we have a narrow group, you know, maybe some of the maybes and the yeses, at least there won't be that many opportunities to split the vote. There's no preferences on this.
Well, no, there is no preference, because that's the whole point. The community chooses them. I think the likelihood of them all being selected is probably low. But, you know, that's only my estimate. I do have from staff some estimates about the value of the different projects. So the red hasn't been costed, but the green about 1.4 million. The maybe's about 3.3 something million. So about 4.7, 4.8 4.8 million, the top two. And I suppose if we take out the 38 but add in the 66 or whatever, it's probably getting up towards 3.8 million. But the problem, Councillor Villescu, if you're going to say tonight, and we have to decide tonight, let's rank these and put forward X number. The problem is, what's the cut-off point? How do we know that 3.8 million is too many? If we only put in $1 million worth and got all of that granted, would we be left wondering, gee, should we have asked for $2 million worth? How do you know? We don't know. But seriously, I mean, thinking that through, how would you approach a cut-off point?
We also have to compete with the schools and churches in the local area as well, in all three councils. So I'd probably be a bit conservative as to the number I put up myself, but we are a group.
Well, no, but I'm asking you, what's your cut-off? How many do you want to exclude? Do you want to exclude them by number or by value?
I would probably sift through the yellow area and take out the ones that we think maybe can be looked at in other ways or need more time. The main thing is really how it's going to interrupt our strategy, because this is the government strategy. We've got things that we want to achieve. We've got a plan. We're heading towards it. Now, this is a distraction from that. It's a welcome funding opportunity, but it's still a distraction. And I'd want to pick the things that are going to have the minimum impact on our strategy and the main game as to what we're trying to deliver. So that's why I do have concerns with including too many of the yellow ones.
Okay. So, folks, there are two approaches to this. We agree that the reds, with one exception, are out. We agree the greens are in. With the maybes, one possibility is to say that they go in, apart from any exceptions that we pull out. The other possibility is to choose some sort of cut-off point, whether it's half of them or whether it's $1 million worth or $2 million worth, and then there would have to be essentially a voting process amongst ourselves tonight to rank them and then get to that cut-off point. Well, they're the only two methods I can think of to approach this at the moment. Would anyone like to suggest any other kind of approach, not to individual items, but to the task, looking at those maybes? Councillor Telfer?
Because the voting is on Fund Your Neighbourhood, if there's any indication from staff about how large that neighbourhood is, that has an effect. So if we cut out half of them, we cut out half the neighbourhoods, so we actually need to just sit with a large number of neighbourhoods.
Your Worship, what I had assumed in reading this was best that we highlight the ones that we thought were worthy, taking in all things into account, and I do understand that the weightings in each councillor's head are going to be different from one to the next, but so be it. But just to collate what we think are the most worthy, and that might very well generate the sort of list that's meaningful as compared with the whole list.
Yes, I think it was a game that was made up in a hurry. And it's very approximate, and we have to keep that in mind and play it the same way, I believe. And I think the most suitable at the moment, the way I see it, is that we do actually allow the green and the orange, or whatever colour it is, to flow through and just allow the process to take its course. We don't have any idea of how many voters there will be within a 5-kilometre radius to each project. This is all, there's so many variables, and it's not the very precise kind of thinking that our staff usually do for us. Sometimes maybe overdue, no offence, so it's a very approximate thing, and we should just keep that in mind. And even if we carefully select something now, we probably will end up regretting something. So I think we should just move the everything orange and green through and allow the process to take its course and see where we end up.
Thank you, Councillor. Now, I'm just going to take another straw vote on the method we approach this. Put your hand up if you agree with the idea of including the maybes, apart from a few exceptions. Put your hand up if you agree with that approach. All right, look, just about everybody does. So, let's consider the maybes are in, unless we should exclude one or more of them. So that's the discussion to have next. Councillor Pryor.
Just with reference to that, have we been given any information about the actual assessment process here? Because Councillor Levescu makes a very valid point that if we put up 100 projects and they get 20 votes each, versus another council who puts up 5 projects and gets 1,000 votes per project, then is that assessment process going to be, if you like, normalised per council area to say these are the top 5 in Marion, these are the top 5 in another council? Or is it just going to be, well, these guys got 1,000 votes per project, so all those are getting up? And are we doing ourselves a disservice if we then, like you said, dilute our voting pool? I mean, I don't know whether we know that information. If we do, it'd be nice to know. If we don't, I guess we can only go forwards. How are we going forwards?
Fair question. Do we know? Mr. Clark says we don't know. Ms. Lidicote, any further information?
I guess just the only point I would make is that we also know that it relies on these community members getting votes, so I definitely understand where you're coming from. We have the same concerns ourselves. But at the same time, if we were to only put a small, so probably Councillor Velez can answer to your question, if we only put a small amount forward and those community members didn't go out and get the votes, then we're at risk of limiting our money, is probably what we know so far.
Indeed, I think that risk has been pretty well spelled out. So are there any on this amber list which, apart from, we've talked about 38, are there any others that really we should leave out? Councillor Crossland?
I've got a few, Your Worship. I'm going to go out on a limb and say 19 and 23 can come off. I was at the Cove meeting and they would rather go with 2 or 3 rather than run with those. I think the playground upgrade, we're dealing with that in another forum. I think that the two main ones that they were interested in was the canteen and the kitchen and possibly the oval lighting. The main signage, we've got a project running to change all our signage across the board, and one going out on its own with potentially a different sign to the rest or out of step, I think. I can't see that being a neighbourhood vote winner. So with those two, first of all, I'd be prepared to suggest they come off that maybe list.
Well,
to give the Cove a better chance, and that was the indication they gave at their committee meeting to me. So I don't know why they're on.
I have had information they're keen on the oval lighting.
Yeah, so the canteen and the kitchen. So they're the three that I'd like to progress.
So if we took out 19, 23 and 24?
Yeah.
Anyone arguing? I mean, if Councillor Crossland's, because there was a meeting last Monday night, I think.
There was, yes.
Yep. So if Councillor Crossland is bringing that feedback from the club, that's good enough for me. But
their view was the same as the concerns around the table. They've only got a limited number of people voting. They would rather the top three got good votes, then end up with just five spread across every project.
Sure. So...
And I'll move on to another one.
I'll just check. Anyone arguing against that? It's good logic. Thank you, Councillor.
Keep going.
Please do.
The other one I would like to see come off would be the Plimpton Glenelg RSL battery storage. My recollection is we would love battery storage, but it was research for Edwards Town and a couple of other projects, and at this stage it doesn't stack up financially. So although it may be something for the future, if it doesn't stack up right now, why would we suggest doing it on this list?
But again, sorry, Councillor, I just want to tease that out. The logic being that if we're getting money to get an energy efficiency outcome for no cost to us, then why not do it?
Give it a go, or at least allow the vote, rather. Okay, yeah, happy with that.
Okay. Any others from Councillor Crossland?
Marion Leisure and Fitness, internal refurbishment.
Which number was that?
35. Wasn't that... That's under the... that's leased to the YMCA, so any fit out would come from them, and I thought they just refurbished the inside. I don't know. I've not been in, but can't be great if people are wanting it refurbished.
It does talk about the gymnastics hall, which has a wonderful 1970s Soviet ambience at the moment. Nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Yeah, that was just my suggestion there.
Probably,
that's not all under YMCA, is it?
No. The YMCA is head tenant, I think we could say, but I think, or does GMSA now directly... pay rent to us? Maybe. So, okay. I'm not sure, I mean, who the beneficiary would be, but it's certainly still a council facility, ultimately.
And the last one I had on my list, you'd be pleased to know, was 42, where the proposal is to have lights on both sides of the road. Well, we don't have two lights on both sides of any road, and if they're wanting brighter lights, then maybe when we go LED, they can ask for the higher-powered ones when they're changed over.
Mm. And the one person's... extra lighting is another person's glare, as the staff point out. So I can see what you're thinking there. Are people happy if we take that one out? Yeah, okay, getting nods. Take that one out, 42. Councillor Westwood, over to you.
So you haven't actually taken out Marion Leisure and Fitness, have you?
No, I think it was under the why not category.
Yes, so we're leaving it there, are we?
I
would support it being left there, that's the point.
Okay.
Yes,
well, unless people want to argue against it.
Specifically because it mentions install air conditioning and heating to main gymnastics hall, and I have been there, and I have to say it does need conditioning, air conditioning. So, thanks.
Yes, it's easy to build up a sweat there, that's for sure. Councillor Blesko?
I think the use during the day for the RSL probably wouldn't be as constant as some of the other facilities, so therefore there might be the option for battery storage to actually work. I just want to know which ones in the yellow will have the most significant impact on scheduling and resources from a staff perspective, if that should perhaps guide us to any more we should consider removing.
Well, it's a big question. How long have you got?
Jumps out.
Ms. Libico?
Okay, I'll just have to pretty quickly run through, really. I would have said straight away to refer to Councillor Crossland in regards to those Cove ones, because we're aware that that meeting took place, so we'd be taking your advice on knowing that the club wanted to prioritise them further. 38, which has already been removed, like I said, does need that extra potentially work, so I would agree with that. Again, with the 42 that you've already done as well. Look, probably some consideration around Hugh Johnson. That's a regional reserve upgrade, and bringing that into this process would require the 12-month timeframe to be met, which we would normally take a two-year process, 1 year of design and 1 year of construct, and rely on undertaking the levels of community engagement to make sure the community support it. In this case, if it were to go through and the voting was successful, then we would need to, I guess as a team, work through how we can deliver a portion of that within the 12-month timeframe. So that might be one that you consider, whether that should come out, but again, it might be a priority reserve for you to upgrade. So that one, I guess Cadell is another one that, being the off-leash dog area, other off-leash dog areas we didn't support, or we suggested a change in scope. It's a little bit complicated with this one, making a call on it, because we are currently working through the new dog park project. We're still analysing the community engagement and the feedback, but we do know there is strong support to do something at that site. However, delivering a dog park is quite complex as well, and it's a case where nearby residents may be strongly opposed to that too, so it has some risks. But because we did have that element of support, it could be worth following up. So I'm not sure if I'm helping you, but some of them are a little bit more complicated than others. I think you've already gone through and suggested some good ones that could come out. It's just those last couple that I've suggested, how you feel about those ones.
All right, let's look at those two more closely. Now, Cadell Street Reserve, I think, gave us another valuable bit of information. If the community feedback on our dog park in the north has already flagged Cadell as a potential candidate, if there's some support there, that's helpful. I mean, again, under the reasoning, why not, potentially this could be a bonus dog park and we could have the one that we choose anyway. I think Councillor Gard was supportive of that one staying in. I don't think in terms of wards, you see. I'm concerned at the whole city, but it's north of O'Halloran Hill. That's the real community divider. That's what I meant. Let's have a show of hands about Cadell Street Reserve off-leash dog area, in or out. Put your hand up if you say it should be put forward. In. Put your hand up if you think it should be out. Well, we've got a majority for in, so let's keep it in. Hugh Johnson Reserve, interested in that one as well. I don't understand the figures, Ms. Liddycote, where we've got a cost estimate of $150,000. We're expecting operating cost $10,500 a year, but then we've got additional City of Marion funding, $750,000. How do we arrive at that?
Because this one's highlighted as a regional reserve, that's the agreed figure that we would spend towards the capital improvements of a regional reserve. And so the 150 is the portion of funding that would be asking the DPC for as part of the Fund My Neighbourhood grant. But additionally, what we would need to do then is bring it forward as a regional reserve project, and hence it would have an additional $750,000 requirement if we met the whole, I guess, if we delivered the whole regional reserve. So an option could be to deliver a portion of that reserve upgrade.
To help me, it's getting late, so just to keep it simple, do you mean the application is really for 1/6 of the capital funding?
Sorry, the applicant didn't submit any estimate.
So where does the $150,000 come in?
That's the maximum we can apply for under this funding. Sorry.
I see. So that is the proverbial white elephant. Is $150,000 if you spend $750,000. So I think that's where Councillor Valescu scored a bullseye. That would distort our resourcing quite a bit for playgrounds. So people happy to take that one out? Or show of hands if you'd like to take it out? Yep. Because it just becomes an thank you, councillors, it just becomes an unfair distortion then in our playground planning if it's forcing us to spend that amount. Ms. Liddycote, are there any others like that where there's the $150,000, but there are quite a few, I see. So that's the additional, that column of additional council funding, that's essentially what that boils down to, isn't it? So that we have a cost. You see, I find the table misleading because it's got a column, City of Marion cost estimate, but that is only an estimate of that goes up to the maximum application ceiling, right? So it's not actually our cost estimate. That's what confused me. I think that's misleading, but anyway. Now we understand. So we're taking out number 33. Well, there are a few other reserves there where... Well, actually, the next most serious imposition is actually the Marion Outdoor Pool. But surely that's one of those amounts where you could spend $150,000, because there are a whole series of measures where we want to improve the pool, and then council could fund the balance in its normal course of deliberations. Ms. Lydicote.
Yes, and in that case, the funding for the pool, I believe, is highlighted at this stage for the 18-19 budget. And so with this funding program running through that July to November of the next budget, we could tie it in with the funds that we already have there. So this would be different to Hugh Johnson. We don't yet have those funds in 18-19. So that's another factor that we've considered.
Fair enough. So in that sense, it's not an imposition because it's money we were going to spend anyway. And we're just getting $150,000 towards it. So, yeah, no, that makes sense. All right. Unless there's anything else, I think we're ready to put a motion together. What have staff come up with based on all of those numbers? It's on the screen. Include green. With 66... except cafe, include amber, excluding those items. Okay, that seems pretty good. I resume normal standing orders, so it's open to someone to move a motion accordingly. Moved as printed, Councillor Pfeiffer, and you're free to speak.
Don't move that way, thank you.
Seconded, Councillor Westwood. You wish to speak? No, you don't need to. Anyone against or amendment, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Well done. That was a very healthy discussion, and thank you to staff for putting it all together in such a hurry as well. So we'll move on to the two... Now, on my agenda, we have the potential property acquisition up next. I've got various agendas here, so I'm just trying to find out which one. Have other people got multiple agendas? Thank you, Elron. Right. So, yeah. Well, the Councillor Hull, I'll ask you, since you have two motions, you're the author of two motions.